The Neil Prendeville Show, text 0868 104 106. There's a new book out now. It's a cracking read. It's by Shane Ross. It's RTE, Saints, Scholars and Scandals. It pretty much chronicles the evolution of the state broadcaster RTE since 1961. When I say 1961, I'm talking about television. Radio, of course, precluded that for many, many years before. But it was a different Ireland in 1961, and Shane Ross joins me by phone. Shane, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
And to a large extent, I suppose, back in the early days, they were taking babies steps, weren't they? Because it was the first time and had never been done, so they were learning as they went along. When would you think was one of the biggest significant changes in RTE? Would it have been the arrival of Gay Byrne?
The biggest change which reflected Irish society was undoubtedly Gay Byrne. And Gay Byrne, of course, had such longevity. Gay was the greatest broadcaster, I think, without fear of contradiction, that Ireland's ever had. Gay was a numbers man. Gay wanted the numbers up, and that was what really made him tick.
He got it. Yeah.
I mean, he was the catalyst, which maybe actually, to some extent, broke the hold of the Roman Catholic Church. He had great political power because of the strength of his programs. And remember, the late, he was not just the presenter, he was the producer. He decided what went on and what was said and who did what completely.
Do you think that he was valued and paid enough and they realized the talent that they had?
I think he was valued. Pay was always a delicate subject with Gay. Gay was the real groundbreaker in terms of getting really high pay. I mean, he was paid 500,000 in the late 1980s, early 90s.
Crikey.
And, you know, the pay for RT people wasn't good, but they were frightened Gay was going to go off to England like Terry Wogan and Abraham.
Yeah, Andrews. And there were, you talk in the book about offers in the UK and offers in America. But when you talk about 500,000, I think you said in the mid-80s, that figure was surpassed over the decades to come, somewhere on 700, 750,000. And here we are in 2026 talking about the top 10 list, an inaccurate top 10 list more often than not. It's bizarre, isn't it? So little has changed.
I think Pat Kenny got up above 900,000 on stage. The fundamental and common thread throughout all this row about salaries and perks and whatever they're getting, and as you say, it's still going on today in the recent weeks, was the absolute, almost paranoia and secrecy of RTE about what it paid its people. Because, you know, they had to, after Gay's salary was never known, then they fought a Freedom of Information case against them. And eventually in about 2005, they were forced to reveal the top 10, and they were even reluctant at that stage to do it. Then, of course, the salaries went way up because of the Celtic Tiger, then came way down again because of the recession and the financial recession. But throughout that period, they were constantly looking at ways to bypass the restrictions which were there on pay, and that's even come out in recent weeks.
Yes, of course it did. I mean, there's actually possibly a second book in it, because since you went to print, there's been even more. You know, we had the handling of Ray Darcy, we had the Keelty story, we had the Mooney story in regards to, was he a producer, was he a presenter, and all this. And even more then with regards to the silly spending of money and waste and things, you know, taxis and limos and hotel bills and restaurant accounts. And it just, they just seem to find it very easy to put their foot in it, no?
A lot of the recent troubles with the 2023 ones were because they could never make up their mind whether they had to behave as a commercial organization or were public sector broadcasters who didn't worry too much about making a profit. That wasn't nearly all of, but totally of their own fault. It's a problem which is still quite patently, obviously, unresolved. And the solution of so many RTE executives and stroke authorities was to put your head in the sand and ignore it.
They're not allowed to, though, because it seems to be drip-fed constantly more and more updates to this. Mind you, there's some of them that are kind of like almost chained together in one of the narratives. When you look at Dee Forbes and Ryan Tubridy and Noel Kelly and Kevin Backhurst, whether they like it or not, they can't kind of break apart from each other because they're all caught in this one story that rolls on. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Dee Forbes and Ryan Tubridy and Moya Doherty and all those people were all there together, but they did share a common culture. And that was the common culture of kind of secrecy and say as little as possible about these things. That was something which I think was throughout the organization. It was basically, we are the champions of transparency, but not about ourselves.
Yeah, say nothing and it'll all go away eventually kind of thing.
That's right. Dee Forbes, who was very interesting person, was very much a product, into the private sector where they didn't have the same kind of requirements of transparency propriety.
It's public money. It's the taxpayers' money. Each of these individuals, incidentally, gets entire chapters to themselves, and rightly so. Let's not forget Jerry Ryan, who you go into in quite some detail, and the tragic loss of him at such a young age. You say in the book, surely anybody in a workplace where they knew that somebody was struggling with, say, for instance, perhaps an addiction issue that, you know, Jerry and cocaine, that they would intervene and ask what could they help. But nobody did, you said.
I didn't know this before I wrote the book, that basically people in RT told me, lots of people told me, they knew he had this problem with his lifestyle, with his addiction issue. Other things were falling apart in his personal life at the same time. And yet they let him go on. One person told me that he gave him a lecture about drinking whiskey at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Good God.
They let him go on with these kind of extravagances, like excesses, and no one took him to one side.
Why?
I think there was always this fear of the celebrity being more powerful than the board and the director general and anybody else, because they commanded the audiences. And that's true, of course.
Okay.
But I think they felt he might have just walked off the pitch, and they didn't want that at all. They were frightened of that.
So to some extent then, when I'm listening to your talk, I can almost feel that maybe Kevin Backhurst needs to be praised to some extent, in the sense that he took the bull by the horns, right?
In which area do you mean, by keeping the salaries down?
Yeah. Well, you know, capping. No one will earn more than me. We'll be very transparent going forward. We'll learn from our mistakes. Or are they just words?
No, I think he means them, but I think he'll find them very difficult to implement. He doesn't earn as little as the figure quoted as 250,000. He's up at about 325, actually.
Well, he would have a pension contribution. I think I read somewhere, I don't know, it could be 60, 70 grand. There would be the car allowance and, as we learned recently, a restaurant hotel expense account as well. But nobody can earn more than him creates a problem with Keelty, doesn't it?
Of course it does. It's going to create various problems all over the place. And my guess is that will be something which will not be resolved by him getting more money. I think it will be resolved by it being breached, because commercial pressures will probably force them. It was a good headline at the time, and it was probably necessary at the time, but I suspect it won't happen, because I think it would be totally unacceptable if he started earning much, much more than any other semi-state body, and you'd have a kind of leapfrogging going on. I can understand why he said it at the time.
Other questions pop into my head as I listen to you speak. For instance, I don't know whether you are in on the information or not, as to whether or not Ryan Tuberty is biding his time, and that at some stage there will be some kind of an olive branch. Do you see that rolling out like that, or playing out like that?
Well, Kevin Backhurst has said was, you know, there's nothing in prospect, but, you know, don't rule anything out forever. I think one of the problems with Tuberty is he's not missed in terms of the numbers. He wasn't doing huge numbers. Yeah. In the programs that he was doing. So I'm not sure that he would still be around now in the same position if he had stayed on anyway, because the people who came in after him did as well, if not better, terms of audiences. Yeah. So I don't think it'll be necessary to confront that in terms of getting back. I don't know whether he wants to. I presume he does. I think, you know, time moves on and fashions move on. And, you know, the people who've replaced him have had very good numbers. I'm not sure there's any need to bring him back. I don't think RT really, really needs him.
And yet you think that the Late Late Show is beyond its best before date and has been for quite some time.
I think it has been since Gay left, in many ways. I mean, those who have followed him, they've done different things. They're competent in their own ways, of course they are. But Kilty Show is a shadow of what Gay did. In other words, it's incomparably different. He's not a giant in the sense that Gay was. Yeah. But do you think that's a long longevity either?
Oh, and ever, though, times are very different now. In the olden days, Gay Byrne had the pick of the crop when it came to guests. Now, in a digital age, when there are many other platforms and many other sources of entertainment, you got to wonder about the relevance of traditional television in itself going forward. There are generations to come, and they're with us now, who don't even watch TV. What do you see as the future?
The future for RTE is, it's very fragile. Just look at the figures that were released about 2 weeks ago on radio, which you'll have seen, Neil, I'm sure. They were pretty bad. Almost universally, the trend was downwards, and significantly downwards in most. That is bad news, because the plans anyway are to shrink RTE, as you know. I mean, there's a voluntary redundancy program of at least 400 people, and it looks like they've recognized that they're not going to be the force they once were, which is obviously true because of competition from no local radio, but also from international radio.
But we will always need national television news, though.
Yes.
The rest of it possibly, well, maybe not, but certainly television news.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, we will need a television and the radio news that we can believe, and we can say, look, we believe we can turn on this station. I think it's true nearly all stations at the moment. The trend can be against it, and believe what they're being, what they're telling us.
Well, I have to just pick you up on that, because many people who listen to my program believe that RTÉ is just the voice piece for the government, and that they are because they're afraid of losing their public funding.
I think the government would not agree with you. I can see why they think that. It depends which side you're on which arguments. And certainly members of the government get very cross when they see two people on one side and only one government person on the other.
Yeah.
But there are improper pressures brought to bear, as we saw recently in the case of the minister looking for an investigation into the fuel protests.
Bizarre.
Which was absolutely unforgivable. But you can see that there are improper pressures from somewhat impetuous government ministers, which are echoes of the past, but they are rarer than they were, but they're still there. And I mean, I can remember when I was in the cabinet, you know, people saying, not on the record and not during the meeting, but on the side of the meeting, they say, did you see what RTÉ said about us last night, you know? And then you'd say, no, probably. You hadn't seen it. And I'm very kind of immune to that sort of thing. And they'd say, well, if they think they're getting a license fee increase, forget it, you know? Right. So there are levers which the government can exercise. I mean, after all, Lamas saw it as an instrument of government policy. He was straight out. He said that. Yeah, most ministers feel that they should be able to rely on them.
So that's an interesting point you make then, because with your time in politics and as a minister, of course, right at the cabinet table, do politicians watch news? Do they mull over newspapers? Do they react badly at times when they see what they see? Or are they a bit paranoid about print and media?
And anyone who says it doesn't affect them is lying to you. They're very affected by it, but not necessarily out of vanity. It's because it moves votes. It's as simple as that.
What's more important to them? Is it to do their job as best they can, or to get re-elected?
Oh, to get re-elected, let's be honest about it. Absolutely. It becomes a priority very soon. There are very few politicians that I could name at the moment who I could say they are going to do what is right, come hell or high water.
Wow.
Without looking over their shoulder at their electorate.
So that means that there are very few that would fall on their sword knowing that they may not get re-elected, but follow their conscience at the same time.
I don't think there are too many politicians who retain their consciences for very long after getting into the toil. You'll find that they become career politicians quite soon. And the moment you become a career politician, your first worry is to keep your job and your seat. And therefore, you look over your shoulder before you look at the national interest. I'm afraid that's the case.
Okay.
At the moment.
Okay. We covered an awful lot of ground. It's a great book. Yeah. It's a great read. Listen, thanks so much, Shane. It's RTÉ, Saints, Scholars and Scandals. Good to catch up. Thanks for taking the call.
Neil, thank you very much indeed.